Christmas pig.
When I give you to her,
said Jack.
I don't understand,
said the Christmas pig.
You made me promise to give you to Holly when we get back from the Land of the Lost, remember?
Oh, said the Christmas pig.
Yes, I remember.
They lay for a while without talking, but Jack could tell that the Christmas pig wasn't asleep.
We'll still see each other,
said Jack, now feeling drowsy.
When we get home, we might even all play together. You're like DP.
I'm sure I will,
said the Christmas pig.
We're brothers, after all.
Yes,
said Jack.
I didn't think so at first, but you're quite similar, really.
He yawned.
Do you think we'll find DP soon?
I'm sure we will,
said the Christmas pig.
You'll miss him forever, so he must be in the City of the Mist. It's the only place left to look.
Yes,
said Jack. He was on the very edge of sleep now, and he could almost imagine that he was cuddled up with DP beside him. The Christmas pig didn't smell new anymore. He'd become grubby from hiding in the smelly lunchbox and their long walk down the earthy tunnel to the wastes.
I can't wait to see DP. Won't he be surprised when he realizes I came all this way to rescue him?
Said Jack.
He'll be amazed,
said the Christmas pig.
No boy has done this for a toy ever in the history of the world.
Jack was on the very edge of sleep when he heard the rattling of the Christmas pig's tummy beans again.
Is the loser coming?
He whispered.
No,
said the Christmas pig.
Don't worry. Sleep.
Jack thought he heard a sniff.
Are you all right, CP?
Of course I'm all right,
said the Christmas pig. This was a relief, because for a moment, Jack had thought that the Christmas pig was crying. Chapter 37 Train Tracks. The sun was rising on the high wooden ceiling that was the sky in the Land of the Lost. Although it was only painted, it shone brightly enough to wake Jack as he lay curled up behind the thistles on the wastes. It had stopped snowing, but was still very cold. The wastes of the Unlamented stretched as far as he could see in every direction, covered in snow, the occasional clump of thistles swaying in a chilly wind. There was no sign of anything, not even the Christmas pig. Panicking, Jack struggled to his feet.
CP!
He called.
CP, where are you?
It's all right, I'm here,
said the Christmas pig, hurrying back into sight.
I found something. Come over here.
He led Jack a short distance and pointed.
Look! Railway tracks.
They must lead to the City of the Mist.
Exactly,
said the Christmas pig.
The trouble is, without compass, I don't know which direction to go in.
They looked up and down the railway tracks, but there was nothing to tell which way led to Bother It's Gone and which to the City of the Mist. A noise behind them made them jump. They wheeled around to see the blue bunny, as grubby as ever, although tears had made clean streaks in his muddy fur.
It's you!
He gasped.
Oh, I'm so glad the loser didn't get you.
He hugged first Jack and then the Christmas pig, which left both of them rather muddy.
We're glad it didn't get you either,
said Jack.
Where's Compass?
Asked Blue Bunny.
We don't know,
said the Christmas pig.
She rolled off into the dark and we weren't fast enough to keep up.
Oh dear,
moaned Blue Bunny.
I hope she wasn't caught. And I'm so worried about Broken Angel. She told me to run as quick as I could, but when I looked back, I couldn't see her anymore. I've been searching for her all night. She was my best friend. Have you seen her?
No,
said the Christmas pig, with a warning look at Jack.
Blue Bunny, I don't suppose you know where these tracks lead, do you?
I'm afraid not,
said Blue Bunny, considering the train tracks.
I'll tell you something strange, though. When the train is travelling that way,
he pointed towards the horizon, which was still dark,
the things on board look sad. But when the train is travelling in that direction,
he pointed towards the horizon that was glowing red and gold from where the painted sun had risen,
the things on board look happy.
Jack looked at the Christmas pig and could tell he was thinking exactly what Jack was. This surely meant that the things travelling east towards the place where the painted sun had risen were journeying towards the City of the Mist rather than Bother It's Gone.
I think we'll take a stroll this way,
said the Christmas pig, setting off along the train tracks towards the ever-lightening horizon.
Do you mind if I come?
Asked Blue Bunny.
Of course not,
said Jack kindly. So the bunny hopped after them. Chapter 38, The City Gates. They walked for hours along the train tracks towards the horizon and saw nothing ahead except more snow-covered ground and the tracks stretching into the distance. Jack kept glancing up at the painted sky. The Christmas pig had said that a day here was an hour above in the land of the living, and Jack couldn't help thinking about Poem's warning that they had to leave the land of the lost before Christmas Eve ended. The idea of being trapped down here forever, waiting for the loser to catch him, was dreadful. But Jack was certain that if he found DP, then DP would make everything all right, just as he'd always done. So he kept walking as fast as he could along the train tracks, following the Christmas pig. The painted sun high above them slid slowly across the wooden sky and began to descend into more dark cloud. It started to snow again. At last, the Christmas pig stopped, his trotter shading his little black eyes.
Jack, can you see something?
He whispered.
Something sparkling?
Jack peered towards the horizon. Sure enough, in the far distance, he could see something glittering.
Is it the sea?
He asked. They walked a little further, and soon the misty outlines of a beautiful walled city took shape. They could see turrets and spires, and the golden roof of what looked like a palace. At last, they got near enough to make out a pair of golden gates in the city wall. They were engraved with the same vines and flowers as the golden door back in Mislaid. Now the train tracks were joined by a second set, which arrived from a different direction. Jack guessed the second tracks came directly from Mislaid, carrying the things that had gone through the golden door. The Christmas pig held out a warning trotter.
Loss adjusters,
he whispered. Sure enough, a dagger, a nail file, and a fierce-looking nutcracker were marching up and down in front of the gates. These loss adjusters were wearing the fanciest black hats Jack had yet seen. Tall helmets with long black feathers sticking out of them, while the L's on the hats were made of gold. Jack, the Christmas pig, and Blue Bunny crouched down out of sight behind another clump of thistles, the snow settling on their heads and shoulders as they stared at the gates, trying to think of a plan.
Perhaps,
Jack whispered,
if we wait until the train comes along, we can jump onto the back of it.
It'll be going too fast,
said the Christmas pig.
You'd get injured.
Wait, you're trying to get in?
Asked Blue Bunny in amazement. Jack nodded.
They'll never let you,
said Blue Bunny.
We are surplus. We don't belong in such a fine place as that. That's where the things that are truly missed go.
There's nothing very special about those gates,
said the Christmas pig, ignoring the Blue Bunny.
They seem quite ordinary. It's the loss adjusters who are the problem. They'll grab us and hand us to the loser the moment we show ourselves. If only we had a decoy.
Do you just want to live in nice houses?
Asked Blue Bunny.
Or is there another reason you want to get in?
Yes,
said Jack, before the Christmas pig could stop him.
Somebody I need is in there. He's called DP, and he's my favourite cuddly toy.
For a long moment, Jack and Blue Bunny stared into each other's eyes, and then Blue Bunny let out a long sigh of amazement.
You're a boy,
he whispered.
You're real.
He isn't,
said the panic-stricken Christmas pig.
But he's an action figure called...
It's all right, pig,
said Blue Bunny.
I won't tell anybody, I promise. You really came all the way into the land of the lost to find your favourite toy?
He asked Jack, who nodded.
Then I'll be your decoy,
said Blue Bunny.
It would be an honour.
And before either Jack or the Christmas pig could stop him, the Blue Bunny scrambled out from their hiding place and gambolled right over to the loss adjusters, who all stopped marching up and down and stared at him.
Hello there,
said Blue Bunny.
Please could I come and live in your city?
Don't be stupid,
sneered the dagger, threatening to jab the bunny. Blue Bunny scampered away a short distance and tried again.
Please let me in. I can do tricks.
He tried to turn a somersault, but landed on his head, which crumpled his ears. The loss adjusters jeered, but they didn't even bother to chase him away. Just then, there were several loud bangs over their heads. Everybody, Jack and the Christmas pig, Blue Bunny and the loss adjusters, looked up. It sounded as though a gigantic ball was bouncing across the high painted ceiling. This was the first time that Jack had heard a noise from the land of the living. There were very few finding holes over the wastes of the unlamented, but it so happened that one of them lay directly overhead. Then, from a long, long way away, came a little girl's voice. She had an accent Jack didn't recognise.
My ball's gone over the edge. It's in that stall's garden.
Squeeze through and get it then, Jeannie,
said a lady's voice. Jack, the Christmas pig, the loss adjusters and Blue Bunny continued to stare up at the big hole in the wooden sky, across which footsteps now echoed. Then they heard the little girl's voice again, louder and clearer than before.
It landed in a flower bed. I'm glad they're not home.
And then a golden shaft of light appeared and hit the little bunny, who stood transfixed, his mouth open, a wild hope gleaming in his dark eyes.
Mum,
said the girl's voice.
I found a bunny. A blue bunny in the flower bed.
The grubby blue bunny rose a few inches off the ground, tugged upwards by the golden light. He looked around in amazement, clearly unable to believe what was happening.
Leave it where you found it, Jeannie,
said the mother far above them.
It'll belong to one of the boys.
It must have been here for ages and ages,
said the little girl's voice.
It's all covered in mud.
Blue Bunny rose a little higher in the shaft of golden light. Now he was hanging in midair. The three loss adjusters, who were supposed to be guarding the gate, were all so astonished to see what was happening that they walked forwards to get a better view of the hole above them, trying to catch a glimpse of the girl odd enough to like a muddy blue bunny.
Mum, they've left him out here for weeks. They can't care about him. Please, can I?
Jeannie, no, not if it belongs to one of the boys,
said the mother's voice. Now, the nutcracker, the nail file and the dagger were standing right beneath the suspended bunny, clearly astounded that a thing so dirty and badly made might have a chance of being found.
Jack, now!
Whispered the Christmas pig.
Run!
But
it's our only chance,
said the pig.
We can get through the gates while they're watching the bunny.
So Jack got slowly to his feet, then dashed towards the glittering gates, and the Christmas pig followed, holding his tummy. Still the bunny hung, suspended in golden light, between the land of the living and the land of the lost, and the loss adjuster stood open-mouthed beneath him, gazing upwards.
Please, Mum,
said the little girl's voice.
Please let me keep him. We'll bush him and show him to the boys. And if they want him back, I'll give him to them.
They won't want me back,
cried Blue Bunny in desperation.
Oh, take me. Please take me. Let me be yours.
But of course, neither the girl nor her mother could hear the bunny.
Look at his sweet little face, Mum,
said the girl. Jack heard a tiny clink behind him. The Christmas pig had pushed open the golden gates. Jack slid through them, still looking back over his shoulder at the bunny.
Oh, all right,
came the mother's voice, half amused, half exasperated.
I just hope he doesn't clog up the washing machine.
And with a sudden whoosh, Blue Bunny was whipped through the hole and out of the land of the lost, but not before waving a single muddy paw at Jack, a look of bewildered joy on his face. Part 6. The City of the Mist. Chapter 39. The City of the Mist. On the other side of the gates were no streets, only a canal bordered by beautiful tall houses with wrought iron balconies. Floating on the water were a number of empty gondolas which were moored to a striped post sticking up out of the green water. The snow dappled the boats and spotted the water with flakes. The nearest gondola had a dark blue velvet blanket folded on the seat.
You first,
the Christmas pig whispered to Jack.
Get in the boat and hide under that blanket.
Jack did as he was told, lying down in the bottom of the boat and dragging the thick velvet wrap over himself, which had clearly been provided to keep passengers warm. Jack felt the gondola wobble as the Christmas pig got on board too and wriggled under the blanket beside him. They lay curled up together, hoping nobody would notice the lumps in the velvet.
Blimey,
Jack heard one of the loss adjusters say.
Only goes to show,
said another voice.
A dirty little bunny like that, found,
said the third.
When's the last time you saw a bit of surplus saved?
Not for years and years.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again,
came the first voice.
Kids is strange. Imagine that girl liking a muddy lump what had lain in a flower bed for ages.
A distant whistle pierced the calm.
Here it comes! Bang on time!
The voice continued.
Train from Miss Lade!
Jack lay very still, curled up beside the Christmas pig and listening to the sounds of the train, chugging nearer and nearer. Soon the noise became deafening. Then, with a loud hiss and a screech of brakes, the train came to a halt. They heard the train doors open and then the city gates. And then a lot of voices oohing and aahing at the sight of the beautiful gondolas waiting to take them into the heart of the city.
Welcome, welcome!
The loss adjusters cried.
This way, sir.
This way, this way, this way, sir.
Perhaps you should have a gondola to yourself, your highness.
Jack had never heard loss adjusters treating lost things with such respect. Then Jack felt the gondola rock as something climbed inside and adjusted itself on the seat. Strong heat was suddenly beating down on the velvet rug, as though the thing in the gondola was on fire. Jack couldn't imagine what it might be.
Would you like this, Your Highness?
Came the Nutcracker's voice from just over Jack's head. Jack and the Christmas pig clutched each other in terror, expecting the velvet wrap to be tweaked off them.
No, thank you. I never feel the cold,
said a lady's voice. There was a little more creaking of gondolas
there,
and a few more,
careful there, your worships,
and then a loss adjuster's voice rang out from what Jack guessed was the gondola at the front.
Your Highness, Your Eminence, Your Worship, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the City of the Mist. Please remain seated for our short journey and then we'll show you to your new homes.
We need to think of a way off this boat once we're further into the city,
whispered the Christmas pig, his snout snuffling against Jack's cheek as the gondola began to move.
Could we dive off while nobody's looking?
Whispered Jack.
What about this thing that's sitting in the gondola with us? It's bound to see us and raise the alarm.
It's very hot, whatever it is,
whispered Jack.
I know,
said the Christmas pig.
It feels like a burning coal. I'm surprised it hasn't set the boat on.
Without warning, somebody twitched the velvet stole off them. For a horrified moment, Jack couldn't see anything at all because the gondola was full of a dazzling golden light. It was as though the sun was sitting beside them.
I'm not a burning coal,
said the same lady's voice as before, which came from the very middle of the blazing light. It was so bright that Jack had to close his eyes for a moment, but he could see the thing even through his eyelids.
I'm happiness.
Happiness?
Repeated Jack.
Yes,
she said.
Now do get up and enjoy the view. It's such a beautiful city.
We can't sit up,
Jack whispered, his eyes watering again as he tried to look at happiness.
We aren't supposed to be here.
I guessed as much,
she said.
But nobody will be able to spot you while you're close to me, because I'm so bright. Do sit up and we can enjoy the ride together.
Jack and the Christmas pig pulled themselves up onto the seat facing happiness. The heat she was giving off was wonderfully comforting after their hours spent on the snowy wastes. And as long as they didn't look at her directly, they were able to see their surroundings by her light. The City of the Mist was unlike anything they'd seen so far in the Land of the Lost. The steps of the villas on either side of the canal ran down to the lapping water. It was dusk, and strings of silver Christmas lights hung above their heads. From somewhere in the distance came the sound of a choir singing carols. There were many more finding holes over the City of the Mist than there'd been on the Wastes of the Unlamented, and Jack was glad to see them. Once they found DP, they should be able to get back up to the Land of the Living quite easily. The gondolas passed under a stone bridge across which a fat silver pocket watch was rolling, its reflection gleaming like a fallen moon. A glittering emerald necklace waved its clasp at the newcomers from an upper window, while a golden sovereign twinkled from a doorway. Jack craned his neck and looked all around, but nowhere could he see any old toys and no hint of DP. There were, however, other things almost as odd and magnificent as happiness.
What are they?
Jack asked the Christmas pig as a gondola passed going the other way. It contained a long coil of paper on which lots of numbers were printed and a golden throne. These two strange things were talking to each other in low voices.
That paper is a lost fortune,
said Happiness, turning to look.
Some rich human up there has lost all their money. Fortune is talking to a lost kingdom. A long time ago, a monarch in the Land of the Living lost their throne.
Jack's eyes were getting used to the extreme brightness of Happiness, and he found that if he peeped at her sideways, he could just make out the form of a smiling woman in the middle of the dazzling light.
How were you lost?
He asked shyly.
Through carelessness,
sighed Happiness.
My owner is an actress. She's charming and talented, but she wasn't as kind as she should have been to the people she cared about, nor as hard-working as she might have been, even though she loved her job. Her gifts once brought her friends and success, but through laziness and selfishness, they slipped away, and now, sadly, she has lost me too.
How will she get you back again?
Asked the Christmas pig.
It will be difficult,
said Happiness,
because she's looking for me in all the wrong places, and as she isn't used to admitting fault, I'm afraid I may be in the City of the Mist for a long time, perhaps forever. Are you going to tell me what you're doing here?
Happiness went on.
Or is it a secret?
A secret, said the Christmas pig before Jack could answer.
I thought so. In that case,
said Happiness, dropping her voice,
you might want to get out here. We seem to be slowing down, but I'll glow extra bright so they can't see you.
Jack and the Christmas pig looked around. Happiness was quite right. The gondolas were definitely slowing down.
Come on,
Jack whispered to the Christmas pig, bracing himself at the thought of entering the icy water.
Go over the side.
Good luck,
said Happiness. Jack and the Christmas pig climbed carefully over the side of the gondola, slipped into the freezing water, and let go of the boat, which drifted away, and Happiness blazing brighter than ever so that nobody saw them go. Gasping in the icy cold water, Jack managed to swim over to some steps that led up to the canal bank. However, when he looked back, all he could see of the Christmas pig was his snout, which was bobbing on the surface. The Christmas pig was drowning. Chapter 40. Followed. Jack swam back just in time to stop the pig from sinking forever. By using only one of his arms and kicking his legs hard, Jack succeeded in dragging the waterlogged pig through the water and up the stone steps.
Oh, thank you, Jack,
panted the Christmas pig, whose toweling body was now greenish from the water.
You're a very good swimmer. I didn't like that at all,
he admitted, squeezing himself out so that he stood in a small puddle.
Why didn't you tell me you couldn't swim?
Asked Jack, who was shivering violently now that he was out of the water and standing in the falling snow.
I didn't know I couldn't swim until I was already sinking,
said the Christmas pig.
And then the water was in my mouth, so I couldn't tell you.
After wringing out his ears, which left them somewhat lopsided, the Christmas pig said,
come on, let's find DP.
One good thing about going in the canal was that the Christmas pig's tummy beans weren't making as much noise as usual, because they were stuck together. He and Jack set off through the narrow streets of the City of the Mist. Cobbled and lined with gorgeous villas, the alleys were just as beautiful as the waterways. Sparkling Christmas wreaths hung on doors, and candlelit Christmas trees glowed in the windows. Jack and the Christmas pig passed a few things as they crossed snow-covered squares in the gathering darkness, but none of them seemed very curious about Jack and the Christmas pig. A magnificent diamond brooch in the shape of a unicorn bowed politely as he made his way into his villa, and a beautiful gold embossed book flicked her pages in a casual wave as she passed. But just as in Bother It's Gone, Jack was troubled by the lack of toys.
Do you think they put cuddly animals in a different part of town?
He asked the Christmas pig.
Maybe,
said the Christmas pig.
This does seem a larger city than the others. I think we're getting nearer the place where they're singing carols, though.
Yes,
said Jack, who was still shivering from his icy dip in the canal.
Do you think it's a party?
Perhaps,
said the Christmas pig. He squinted over his shoulder, looked as though he was going to say something, but seemed to change his mind.
Come on, let's see if we can find out where the toys are.
They walked on, but the further they went, the stronger Jack's feeling that they weren't alone became. Twice he glanced back and saw nothing, but on the third occasion, he thought he caught a glimpse of something black, whisking away around a corner out of sight.
CP, did you see that?
Jack whispered.
Yes,
said the Christmas pig, who'd looked back at the same moment as Jack.
I thought something was following us. I think we might be safer mingling in a crowd. Let's head for the singers. Come on, quick!
Chapter 41. The Performers. They hurried on towards the place where the carols were being sung, and after a few minutes, they found themselves standing in an archway, which looked out onto a large and beautiful square, strung with gleaming silver Christmas lights, just like the canals. A choir of instruments was singing in one corner of the square. All of them, from the French horns and the violins to the flutes and the tubas, had human voices now, and Jack had never heard carols sung so beautifully. For just a few seconds, he forgot how cold he was in his sodden pajamas and simply marvelled at the wonderful sights and sounds. The square lay in front of a huge white palace, which had a golden roof and arched windows. On either side of the palace doors stood two loss adjusters, a pencil sharpener and a mallet, who, like the loss adjusters guarding the city gates, wore black hats with long black plumes. A balcony stretched the length of the palace, and Jack could see people-shaped things standing there, listening to the choir of instruments. Like happiness, each of these things was giving off light. One was scarlet, another green, and several were bright blue. Jack was too far away to be able to see what the figures in the middle of the coloured lights looked like, but he knew they must be extremely important to live in the golden-roofed palace. Meanwhile, right ahead of where Jack and the Christmas pig stood, was a crowd of other things packed together in the falling snow, their shadows long in the light of the dying day. They seemed to be watching some kind of performance that was taking place in their middle.
Let's hide in that crowd,
whispered the Christmas pig, glancing over his shoulder again.
Keep your eyes peeled for DP.
So they set off into the square, Jack's bare frozen feet leaving footprints, and the Christmas pig's trotters leaving round damp spots in the snow, and neither of them noticed the figure, cloaked in black, which slid out from behind a marble column to follow them. None of the things in the crowd took much notice of Jack and the Christmas pig as they sidled in amongst them. When at last they were able to see what the crowd was watching, Jack and the Christmas pig also stopped and stared. All the performers were transparent and human-shaped, just like pretense. A jester was juggling and doing backflips, while a little man with a long moustache was spinning plates on long poles. A chef was flipping pancakes, catching them every time, while a ballerina twirled in endless pirouettes. One old man was tying a long length of rope into complicated knots, and another was performing card tricks.
What are they?
Jack wondered aloud to a brand new smartphone standing beside him.
Lost knacks,
said the phone.
Clever little tricks that humans can do, but which through age or injury, poor memory or lack of practice, they lose.
Can't they get them back?
Asked Jack.
Sometimes,
said the phone.
Yesterday, a very clever magic trick was whooshed back up to the land of the living while we were watching. Very disappointing, because he hadn't finished. We're always sorry to lose Nax, because they put on a show for us this time every evening. But the Nax are just the warm-up act. Wait until you see today's talent.
Sure enough, the lost Nax finally bowed to much cheering, and they ran, tumbled, bounced, and pirouetted out of the square and out of sight. Now, a very large, transparent lady who was wearing a jeweled dress strode into the middle of the square. Some of the onlookers cheered, but the phone groaned.
Ah, you're out of luck. I was hoping for one of our stories. They're always very entertaining, but it's a voice.
Voice took a deep breath and began to sing in a language Jack didn't understand. Her song echoed off the stone arches and palace wall, making Jack's ears ring. He supposed Voice must be very talented, judging by the way all the jewelry and fine books were sighing in admiration. But the phone leaned over to Jack and said,
"She was lost by an opera singer up there. I'm not much of a one for opera. Think I'll be getting home."
Phone hopped away. Jack would have liked to follow because Voice's song was making his ears ring. But at that moment, a thing whispered in his ear.
"Excuse me. Are you the ones who are looking for a toy pig?"
Chapter 42, The King's Invitation. Jack spun around to face a figure that appeared to be that of a woman. A black cloak hid her from head to toe, though violet light escaped from the hood and beneath the hem. Noticing that Jack had turned round, the Christmas pig did so too. And when he saw the cloaked figure, he took his trotters away from his ears and grasped Jack's arm, ready to run.
"Don't be alarmed,"
said the female voice from beneath the cloak.
"I was sent to fetch you by one who means you well."
"Was it Happiness?"
asked Jack.
"Yes, Happiness,"
said the woman.
"But unless you want to get her into trouble, keep that quiet. A thing could get eaten for helping you two. You've caused a lot of trouble. Follow me and I'll explain."
The Christmas pig still looked suspicious, but they followed the figure away from Voice and the crowd into the shadows beneath an archway. Here, the mysterious figure threw back her hood. She glowed with violet light, as Happiness had shone with gold, but gave off no heat. Her face looked older than that of Happiness, and rather less kind.
"Do you know where DP is?"
asked Jack.
"I'm afraid not,"
said the woman.
"But the King does. His Majesty invites you both to dinner at the palace, where all will be explained."
"What king is this?"
asked the Christmas pig suspiciously.
"The loser's in charge down here. Everyone knows that."
"The loser is in overall command,"
said the Violet Lady.
"But we have a royal family here in the City of the Mist. I am His Majesty's ambassador. If you really want to find your pig, the King is the only one who can help. I'd have thought you'd be glad of some shelter, at least,"
she added, because Jack's teeth were chattering and green water was still oozing out of the Christmas pig.
"It would be nice to get warm,"
Jack admitted, but the Christmas pig still looked suspicious.
"Would you excuse us for a moment?"
he said to the Violet Lady.
"Certainly,"
she replied, though she didn't seem pleased.
"I know she doesn't seem very friendly, but she must be good if Happiness sent her,"
Jack muttered into the Christmas pig's ear once they'd moved a short distance away. He had trouble making himself heard because Voice was still echoing around the square, but at least that meant the Violet Lady couldn't eavesdrop.
"DP might be inside the palace. I love him so much. They might have let him live there. Perhaps he's become royal."
"I don't believe it,"
said the Christmas pig, whose damp snout was slowly freezing in the evening air.
"I never heard there was any king down here except the loser. And how does that lady know who we're looking for? We never told Happiness we were after DP.
"I expect words got round,"
said Jack.
"I asked Sheriff Specs and the chess piece about him."
"I still don't like it,"
said the pig.
It smells like a trap to me.
This is the first time anybody's told us they know where DP is,
said Jack, now starting to get angry.
You heard what Poem said. We've got to succeed before Christmas Day, or I'll be trapped and I'll never be able to take DP home. There can't be much time left.
When the Christmas pig didn't answer, Jack said,
Fine, don't come, but I'm going.
And with that, Jack turned and strode back towards the Violet Lady, who stood burning in the shadowy archway like a purple flame. Jack heard the Christmas pig's belly beans behind him and knew he was following. Chapter 43. The Palace. The Violet Lady accepted the news that they were ready to follow her with a brief smile, which showed her rather pointed teeth, then led them towards the palace, her black cloak flying behind her in the breeze.
How are we going to get past the loss adjusters?
Asked Jack as they approached the golden palace doors.
Oh, you needn't worry about them,
said the Violet Lady with a haughty smile.
The king's in charge of the loss adjusters here in the City of the Mist, and I'm His Majesty's representative. Good evening to you,
she said grandly to the pencil sharpener and the mallet, who both bowed as each opened a door. The mallet's head was so heavy he nearly toppled over, but saved himself by clutching the door handle.
Good evening, Your Excellency,
they said together. A wonderful warmth enveloped Jack and the Christmas pig as they stepped over the threshold of the palace. They now stood on a thick crimson carpet, which was soft under Jack's bruised, frozen feet. Twin fires burned beneath two marble fireplaces on either side of a magnificent staircase with golden banisters. At the foot of the stairs stood the very same diamond earrings Jack had seen back in Mislaid. They seemed to be employed now as maids because they took the Violet Lady's black cloak, bowed, then wriggled away, disappearing through a side door.
This way,
said the Violet Lady to Jack and the Christmas pig as she started to climb the stairs.
May we ask your name, Your Excellency?
Said the Christmas pig as they followed, repeating the title he'd heard the loss adjusters use. Now that she was unrobed, their companion filled the hall with her violet light. A tall, thin woman, she looked down at them as she said,
My name is Ambition.
How does someone lose their ambition?
Wondered Jack out loud.
By being a fool,
said Ambition coldly.
My mistress and I achieved great things together. She's a politician, or rather, she was. She suffered a small setback, lost a trifling vote, but that oughtn't to have mattered,
cried Ambition, coming to a sudden halt so that Jack nearly walked into her. Her eyes emitted sparks, and for a moment, Jack found her rather frightening.
We could have recovered from that setback and climbed together to even greater heights, but no! She lost me, the weak-willed fool!
Shouted Ambition, shaking her fist at the finding hole in the ceiling. The sound of her words echoing off the marble walls seemed to bring Ambition back to herself. She took several deep breaths.
My apologies,
she said stiffly.
I've lived here in the palace for several years now, waiting for her to find me again. Sometimes I fear it will never happen. But none of this will help you find your pig.
She began to climb the stairs again. Jack and the Christmas pig glanced at each other, then followed. Jack could tell the Christmas pig was having even more doubts about Ambition now, and in truth, she'd made Jack quite nervous too. However, he didn't want to turn back, so he tried to look cheerful and unconcerned. At the top of the stairs, they found more double doors, which were opened by a pair of solid gold fish knives.
Your Excellency. Your Excellency,
they muttered respectfully, as Ambition passed through into the room beyond. Jack and the Christmas pig followed, watched curiously by the glinting knives. Chapter 44. The Royal Family. The room they now entered was even grander than the hall, with gilded columns and mirrors. The vaulted ceiling was painted with pictures of the three cities of the Land of the Lost, the low wooden houses of Disposable, the neat snow-topped chalets of Bother It's Gone and the villas and canals of the City of the Mist. Beneath the painted ceiling stood a long candle-lit table, which was laid with enough golden plates and crystal glasses for 15 things. At the head of the table stood a large golden throne, which was currently empty. In front of another fire, in a ball of emerald light, stood a very handsome young man who was examining himself in the mirror over the mantelpiece. He looked delighted with what he saw there.
"Good evening,"
he said, without taking his eyes off his own reflection, but turning his head this way and that to get a better view of his profile.
"That's Beauty,"
said Ambition, indicating the green man.
"And that,"
she said, pointing to a ball of orange light, inside which stood a young man with a plump, smiley face,
"is Optimism. They'll entertain you while I tell His Majesty his guests have arrived."
Ambition swept out of the room, leaving Jack and the Christmas pig feeling nervous and extremely shabby in all this splendour. However, the moment the golden fish knives had closed the door behind Ambition, Optimism came bounding over to Jack and the Christmas pig, beaming from ear to ear. He had round, innocent eyes and, like Happiness, gave off a pleasant warmth. After seizing Jack's hand and shaking it, and doing the same with the Christmas pig's trotter, he cried,
"Marvellous to meet you. What jolly good things you are. I feel as though I've known you forever. Let's be best friends."
"Hello,"
said Jack timidly.
"I hear you're looking for an old toy pig,"
said Optimism, bouncing excitedly on the balls of his feet.
"Yes,"
said Jack.
"Well, I'm sure you'll find him. Everything will work out splendidly, and you'll love our king. He's a very good thing."
For just a second, Optimism's smile faltered, but then he beamed as widely as ever.
"Deep down, you know."
"Isn't anybody going to admire me?"
asked Beauty indignantly, turning from the mirror to look at Jack and the Christmas pig.
Oh, yes,
said the Christmas pig.
"You're very handsome."
"Which is more than can be said for you two,"
said Beauty with a smirk, looking from the now bedraggled Christmas pig with his lopsided ears to Jack's filthy bare feet and muddy pyjamas.
"Your beauty must be here somewhere too. Or perhaps you never had any to lose."
With this rude remark, he turned back to the mirror. Then a door opened at the far end of the room. A ball of indigo light entered. For a moment, Jack thought it might be the king. But as the light came nearer, he saw a very old lady shuffling along in its centre.
"Good evening,"
she said in a high, cracked voice.
"Good evening,"
said the Christmas pig.
"This is Memory,"
said Optimism. Memory peered at the Christmas pig for a moment or two, then said,
85 years ago, my mistress owned a pig, but hers was of china. What we call a piggy bank. Its sides were painted with little blue flowers, and she used to keep her pocket money inside it. One Sunday afternoon, 84 years ago, my mistress's younger sister, Amelia Louise..."
"Memory,"
said Beauty with a yawn.
"Nobody's interested. Nobody cares."
"Oh, I'm sure it will be a smashing story,"
said Optimism, still beaming. Jack wondered how he could smile so much without his face hurting.
"Broke that piggy bank with the little blue flowers."
"We've heard this at least 1,000 times already,"
groaned Beauty, while Memory continued to mumble. The door at the far end of the room opened again. 6 balls of glowing blue light entered the room, each of which had an identical man inside it, all of them small and neat and serious-looking. They couldn't all be the king, Jack thought, getting more confused by the second.
"Good evening,"
said the 6 blue men, speaking with one voice and drowning out Memory, who continued to mumble her story about the piggy bank.
"We are the principals."
They bowed in unison, and Jack, who didn't know what else to do, bowed back, as did the Christmas pig, whose tummy beans, now drying out in the heat from the fire, made a crunching noise.
"I thought the king told you to stay in your rooms,"
asked Beauty, frowning at the principal's reflections in the mirror.
"After carefully considering His Majesty's order,
said the principals, speaking together as before.
We decided it would be against ourselves to stay in our rooms.
Jack whispered to the Christmas pig.
What are principals?
The principals seemed to have heard him, because they answered together.
We are the things who make humans behave with honesty and decency. Alas, our owner, a businessman, lost us one by one in pursuit of riches. He is now a wealthy crook. He likes the money, yet he is unhappy because he knows he was better loved and respected while he still had us. Unfortunately, lost principles are among the hardest things to find, so we expect to live here forever. We have therefore taken on a new job. We attempt to keep the king on the path of righteousness.
And does the king often need your help?
Asked the Christmas pig. But before the principals could answer, there was a loud fanfare, and the doors behind them opened. Chapter 45. The King. The whole dining room now filled with scarlet light, which glinted off the crystal goblets and turned the plates blood red. The crimson figure standing in the doorway made even Ambition, who'd entered the room behind him, seem dim by comparison. Beauty, Optimism, and the principals bowed, and Jack and the Christmas pig copied them, while Memory dropped into a deep curtsy and fell silent at last.
This,
said Ambition proudly to Jack and the Christmas pig,
is Power, our king. Your Majesty, these are the two you've been waiting for. The ones who are looking for the lost pig.
By screwing up his eyes, Jack was able to make out the figure casting the scarlet light. He was a big, fierce-looking man with a sour expression and a jutting jaw.
Welcome!
He said in a booming voice.
What do you think of my city? Do you like it?
It's very beautiful, Your Majesty,
said the Christmas pig. Jack was too frightened to speak.
Beautiful,
said Power, who seemed displeased.
Many places are beautiful. I consider my city to be magnificent, stupendous, sublime!
He thundered the last word, and everyone jumped.
It's those things too,
squeaked the Christmas pig. Power turned to the principals.
I thought,
he shouted,
I told you to stay in your rooms!
It was against ourselves to stay in our rooms,
repeated the principals, speaking in one voice as before. Power's huge hands balled themselves into fists, and he ground his teeth. Jack and the Christmas pig both took a step backwards.
Your Majesty,
murmured Ambition, laying a hand on Power's thick arm.
I beg you to remember our objective.
Her touch seemed to make Power think better of shouting at the principals.
You are quite right, Ambition. Everyone, sit down!
Boomed the king, and he strolled to the head of the table and took his place on the throne. Jack sat down between the Christmas pig and Beauty, who was now admiring himself in the back of a shining spoon. Optimism settled into the seat opposite Jack, smiling as widely as ever.
There's no need to be nervous,
he called across the table.
I just know everything will turn out wonderfully.
Excellent,
growled Power, in response to something Ambition had just whispered in his ear. Even his ordinary speaking voice was so loud that it made the cutlery rattle.
And the door's locked?
It will be, after the servants confirm she's gone to bed,
said Ambition.
As for the other, well, I'm afraid I haven't been able to find her. Your Majesty knows how she's always flitting off into dirty corners where no decent thing would go. I had the loss adjuster try and hunt her down. I mean, find her.
She corrected herself with half a glance at Jack.
But alas, they were unsuccessful.
Jack gathered that Power and Ambition were talking about the things who ought to have been sitting in the two empty spaces left at the table, but he felt too scared to ask questions. Power now clapped his enormous hands together twice. At once, a procession of things came hurrying through the servants' door, all carrying food, and a very odd assortment it was too. There was a single peppermint as large as Jack's head, a few giant crisps, a pillow-like slice of birthday cake, pieces of popcorn the size of cauliflowers and, largest of all, a chocolate tree decoration wrapped in coloured foil and shaped like a fat Santa Claus. The sugar tongs carrying it groaned as she heaved it onto the table.
The only food here is lost food, of course,
boomed the king down the table at Jack, as the things which had delivered the food ran out of the room again.
We things have no need of food, but you will want to eat,
he said, glaring at Jack.
Because you, of course, are a living boy!
Chapter 46. Power's Plan. As soon as Power shouted the words, living boy, loud metallic clicks sounded from either end of the room, and Jack realized that the servants outside had just locked the doors.
We were afraid of something like this,
muttered the principals all together.
He isn't a living boy,
said the Christmas pig in a squeaky voice.
He's an action figure.
That's right,
said Jack, whose mouth had gone dry.
Pajama boy, with the power of sleep and dreams.
He's got his own cartoon,
said the Christmas pig.
We disapprove of lying,
said the principals in one voice.
8 years ago, piped up Memory, my mistress's sister, Amelia Louise, was caught lying when...
Quiet!
Yelled Power, banging his huge fist on the table. One of the crystal goblets toppled over and cracked. Memory fell silent again. Power got to his feet, burning a deeper, darker red than ever, and all the things around the table looked nervous, except for Ambition, from whose eyes sparks were flying again, and whose pointed teeth were revealed in a wide grin.
Do you know,
thundered Power, staring at Jack,
why I'm here in the land of the lost?
No,
whispered Jack. Beneath the table, the Christmas pig stretched out a trotter to hold Jack's hand.
My owner,
said Power, beginning to pace up and down.
Lost me by failing to stamp down hard enough.
He smacked one huge fist into the other hand.
On his enemies! Together we ruled an entire country. To keep me, my master kept the people!
As Power bawled this word, he screwed up his face in disgust and hatred.
In their proper places! Which is to say, on their knees!
He thundered, a mad look in his bright red eyes.
But then,
he bellowed,
a boy like you dared challenge my master in public, and that child,
shouted Power,
gave the people courage to revolt.
Power's voice rose to a scream.
And I was sucked down here to the land of the lost.
Power, dear,
said Beauty.
Do stop shouting. Quite apart from the racket, it makes you look awfully ugly.
So you've lured us here to take revenge on living boys, have you?
Asked the Christmas pig, still gripping Jack's hand under the table.
Of course not,
sneered Ambition.
We aren't interested in petty revenge. Our aim is to do whatever we must to rise higher, to gain more prestige, to achieve greater success.
To increase our power,
roared the king.
We know what you seek. The one called DP.
Where is he?
Asked Jack desperately.
Do you know?
Yes, I know,
screamed Power.
But you will never find him. Never! Because I am about to trade you to the loser! In return, he will reward me, and with Ambition as my queen, I shall rule still vaster territories until my power rivals his own!
Calmly, Your Majesty, calmly,
said Ambition, laying a bony hand on Power's arm again.
We need votes to proceed, remember? Now, listen, all of you,
she said, addressing Beauty, Optimism, Memory, and the principals.
If we trade these two to the loser, he might give us things in return. Perhaps
An enlarged palace with even more mirrors.
She glanced at Beauty.
Or a guarantee he'll stay outside the city walls. We might even be allowed a say in who comes to the City of the Mist. Occasionally, something arrives that is not of the standard we expect. You all remember that scruffy poem, I'm sure. And that ghastly, common pretense. Beauty, how do you vote?
You know, I'm awfully afraid this is going to turn into a fight,
said Beauty, getting to his feet.
And I never fight. One's hair gets messed up and, in severe cases, one's teeth may be knocked out. I shall go to bed. Vote without me.
She'll go nowhere,
snarled Power.
The doors are locked. Vote, or I'll knock out your teeth. You want to hand them to the loser? Yes or no?
Oh, well, if it means more mirrors, yes.
Sighed Beauty, sitting back down again. He picked up his spoon and fell back to admiring his reflection.
Memory, dear,
said Ambition.
You agree, I'm sure, that we should hand these fugitives to the loser.
69 years ago,
said Memory in her high, cracked voice.
My mistress and her sister, Amelia Louise, went to see a movie called The Fugitive...
Memory, concentrate,
snapped Ambition.
We are taking a vote. Should we hand the boy and the pig to the loser? Yes or no?
The old lady, glowing with indigo light, turned her gaze upon Jack and the Christmas pig. There was a long silence. Then Memory said,
No. They don't stop me remembering things. I like them.
Thank you, Memory,
whispered the Christmas pig, still clutching Jack's hand under the table.
And you, Optimism?
Demanded Power.
I told them everything would work out wonderfully,
said Optimism, his lip wobbling.
I told them you were good and kind, Power.
Vote!
Thundered Power.
Well, I vote no,
said Optimism with a little sob.
And I'm sure that deep down, Power, deep, deep down, there's a little bit of good in you. And when you've thought it over, you'll change your mind and let them live in the palace with us.
Shut up!
Roared Power.
What about you, Principals? You realize these two have broken the laws of the Land of the Lost. It is forbidden for the living to enter here.
True,
said the Principals, speaking all together as usual.
We disapprove of breaking the law.
Then you vote yes?
Asked Ambition eagerly. But before the Principals could answer, there came another couple of metallic clicks, and a familiar voice spoke from the end of the room.
Why was I locked in my room?
A blaze of golden light filled the dining hall as Happiness entered. Chapter 47, The Last Two Guests.
I thought you needed a rest after your long journey, Your Highness,
said Ambition nervously, dropping into a curtsy as Happiness moved into the room, shedding golden light all around her.
I didn't think you'd want to be bothered with this tedious bit of business the very evening you arrived.
How did you get out?
Demanded Power.
Come to that! How did you get through those doors?
I unlocked them,
said a second voice.
You know very well that no lock can contain me, Power.
Jack hadn't noticed the second thing that had entered the room because Happiness's radiance had blinded him for a moment. But now he saw a woman as tall as Ambition, though far more strongly built. She was very beautiful, but the soft pink light she gave off was less bright than that of the other things. Unlike her fellow royals, she had wings. Not stiff, upstanding wings of golden plastic like those of Broken Angel back on the wastes, but vast, feathery wings of white shading to deep pink which trailed behind her on the floor like a train.
How lovely to see you two again,
said Happiness, smiling at Jack and the Christmas pig.
This,
she said, indicating her companion,
is my friend Hope.
The pink lady also smiled at Jack and the Christmas pig, and, terrified as they were, they smiled back. Hope and Happiness sat down in the last two chairs at the table.
We hear you're taking a vote on handing our guests to the loser,
said Happiness.
Please continue. We'd be glad to take part.
Very well,
said Ambition.
This living boy and his pig have broken the law in pursuit of an impossible goal. The only way for a lost thing to return to the land of the living is by being found up there. And as DP can never be found up there...
Why can't he?
Said Jack.
Because a lorry ran over him on the motorway,
said Ambition with a cruel smile.
All that remains of your DP up in the land of the living are a few scattered beans and a bit of fluff. He cannot be found, so he remains with us forever.
No,
whispered Jack.
I don't believe it. It can't be true.
But as he said it, he remembered the tiny shake of his head Grandpa had given Gran when he came back to the car after looking for DP.
You can still get him back,
said the Christmas pig fiercely, still clutching Jack's hand beneath the table.
I promise, Jack, you can save DP.
Well spoken, pig,
said Hope.
Ambition has forgotten what night it is up in the land of the living.
Turning to the king, she went on.
These two came bravely into the land of the lost in the hope of achieving the impossible, and tonight, the night for miracles and lost causes, they have a chance.
Which they richly deserve,
said Happiness.
I vote against giving them to the loser.
As do I,
said Hope.
Then,
said Ambition, placing her hand again on Power's arm, because the king looked as though he was about to explode with rage again.
We have three votes for giving them to the loser, and four against. The deciding votes lie with the principals.
She turned back to the six identical small blue men.
You agree that these two have broken the law?
We do,
said the principals, speaking in one voice as always.
But handing a living boy to the loser would be murder, and that's the worst crime there is,
said the Christmas pig.
Also true,
said the principals together.
I only want DP back,
said Jack desperately.
I never wanted to do any harm.
How do you vote, principals?
Ambition demanded, ignoring Jack.
What should happen to liars and rule breakers who seek to disobey the ancient law of the land of the lost? No matter their motive, don't you agree that they belong to the loser to punish as he sees fit?
Yes,
said three of the principals, but the rest answered,
no.
7-6, we won,
Jack whispered to the Christmas pig, but at that moment, Power jumped to his feet.
I vote that the votes don't count,
he roared, smacking the giant peppermint to the floor, his teeth bared and his fists clenched. Beauty sank slowly beneath the table and out of sight, taking his shining spoon with him. Memory began to mumble something about Amelia Louise, but nobody heard what it was, because Power now shouted,
Los Adjusters! Take these things to the loser!
Chapter 48, Flight. At these words, both sets of doors at either end of the room burst open, and with a great clamour and clatter, in ran the biggest group of loss adjusters Jack had seen since mislaid. There were razors, scissors, pincers and knives, wire clippers, chisels and a huge mallet, all of them wearing the plumed black hats of the palace guards. Jack and the Christmas pig both jumped up from their chairs. Jack seized some popcorn, ready to throw it, and the Christmas pig picked up the giant peppermint.
Seize them!
Roared Power. And for a moment, Jack was certain that they were going to be captured and taken to the loser's lair, and that he'd never see Mum or DP again. But then, to his amazement, Jack felt a warm, strong arm encircle him, heard a great whoosh of wings, and felt himself rising into the air, up above the roar and clash of all the metal things below. Hope had caught Jack up in one arm, and the Christmas pig in the other, and she now flew on her huge wings across the room while Power screamed in rage. Happiness increased her own dazzling light, confusing the things giving chase, and Hope flew through the double doors at the end of the room and off along a dark corridor.
Where are we going?
Asked Jack, clutching Hope's strong arm as they flew, while the loss adjusters clattered along in pursuit.
To DP,
said Hope.
I'm not allowed to enter the place where he lives. Only the most precious in the land of the lost may set foot there. I can carry you most of the way, but you'll have to do the last bit yourself. Grab that tapestry off the wall,
she added, and Jack reached out and tugged it. The heavy material broke free and billowed behind them. It was so heavy, it took all Jack's strength to keep hold of it, and it slowed their progress a little. Jack could hear the shouts and the bangs of the loss adjusters and thought they seemed to be gaining ground. But Hope flew up a spiral staircase, the tapestry trailing in their wake, until they reached a locked and bolted door. Jack was sure they were trapped, but as Hope soared towards it, the bolt flew back and the door crashed open, and they flew outside into the falling snow.
Quickly,
said Hope, landing on the Golden Palace roof and setting Jack and the Christmas pig down.
Wrap that tapestry around yourself so I can carry you easily. The journey will be cold and you're already damp.
Jack and the Christmas pig wrapped the heavy tapestry around themselves. Hope unfurled her powerful wings again, seized hold of the material, and rose once more into the air, now carrying them below her in a kind of hammock. Through the thick tapestry, Jack could hear the screams of rage of the loss adjusters who'd raced out onto the roof behind them, and Power's shout of,
"Come back! Bring them back!"
But Hope kept flying, and soon the sound of shouting grew distant, then died away completely. Now, the only sound they could hear was the beating of Hope's wide, strong wings. Chapter 49, The Story of Hope. Though dusty, it was cozy inside the tapestry, because Jack and the Christmas pig were snuggled up together. After their scary dash through Power's palace, Jack found it comforting to feel the Christmas pig's trotters around him. He didn't even mind the smell.